Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What is Passive House? I am so excited to get into this conversation today with a guru about Passive House, Johnny Rezvani, Art of Construction Tribe. He's the director of communications for 475 High Performance Building Supply. And what is the main message I want to convey to you, Tribe, is that we have to focus on the best comfort products and you will crush it with standard building codes. And that was in our pre-interview. We had this great conversation that I'm really excited to get into this fireside chat about. If we truly just build better buildings, the rest of this will follow when it comes to this educational marketing. We're going to go down this journey together today. And how is this going to benefit? Is that experts in the best practices and products around Passive House standards. I'm the first to raise my hand. I've been going to a lot of great Passive House stuff, and there's so much technical knowledge, so many great details going on around this. But we're going to kind of just zoom in and zoom out a little bit and get to know Johnny, who's been working in the field for a while, and hear his story around Passive House. So let's go in, get your favorite eggnog if you're in the holiday season, going to live and listen to this live as we just came out of the new year. Maybe you got a little bit of eggnog left, but this global and timeless fireside chat with Johnny from 475 Building Supply. Let's have as much fun as possible and build better buildings through Passive House conversation. Lock and load, Tribe. What's your favorite beverage?
Favorite beverage is espresso. Coffee. I'm a big coffee lover, but espresso especially. Might start a little side business on it, as a matter of fact.
Oh, there you go. What's a favorite place you've traveled?
One of the favorite places, I would say traveling to Japan, specifically seeing small town Japan, was really incredible.
Awesome. Give us one story from Japan.
Story from Japan. I think seeing the small towns and just seeing how, I think as somebody who's really interested in urban development and buildings in general, just seeing how a small town still does all the efficiencies that you would have in a big city by having, you know, sometimes even high rises, what we would consider a high rise, certainly you would never see in a small town in the United States, is normal there to just have this compact form and people to live in small apartments, regardless of where you're located, and to use that efficiency of space so that you basically go from this tiny, tiny urban environment to the countryside immediately. It was really interesting to see that.
Awesome. And what's your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction silos we're going to break down today and talk about Passive House that we passionately call the art of construction?
Favorite hobby, I'd say at the moment, my big passion is climbing, specifically indoor rope climbing. I'm really interested in that, living here in Boulder, Colorado. And then aside from that, music. I've been in bands my whole life and enjoy making music. But currently, climbing probably takes the cake.
Awesome. Well, we got to know a little bit about Johnny. What's your story that led you to being the director of communications for 475 High Performance Building Supply?
Well, I got my start in the sustainable building industry from specifically more from the planning side. I went and got my degree from Evergreen State College in sustainability planning. Directly from graduation, got hired at the transit agency in Olympia, Washington, to write their first sustainability plan, and went from that to the planning agency for the county in that area to write their first sustainability plan. So I hopped from place to place, writing these sustainability plans for big entities, and what felt very large to me as a 25-year-old, just having finished a postgraduate degree. And, you know, quickly learned that although I did not consider myself much of an expert, I had a little more expertise than at least enough people to get those jobs. And so started
nothing
really
like jumping
it
in with both feet, right?
Yeah, I really did. I jumped in with both feet. And as a 20-something, having those what felt like very large jobs, I found myself not looking forward to, you know, figuring out what happens at the end of these very big 50-year plans. I wanted something much more immediate, and found myself attracted to the speed. Although within the construction industry, a lot of things feel slow. It's much, much faster than the development of entire cities and counties. And so seeing the results from construction projects happen within months to a year really was more interesting to me. And that led me to more studies at the City College in New York, and basically found my pathway to 475 from there, because I found it to be one of the most effective concepts for creating tangible change that I could find. And I wanted to be a part of that. So I was the first full-time employee hired at 475 when it was a tiny startup in Brooklyn, and really had a lot to do with its development over the past 10 years. We just celebrated our 10th anniversary. So it's been a fun ride, and we've seen a lot happen in those 10 years.
10 years of this startup of really just attacking the building envelope and high performance. Can you tell us a little bit more about 475 High Performance Building Supply? And I guess I've been following you guys, and so much great stuff that we're going to talk about how you guys do your educator marketing, but why 475 and kind of the origin story of bring us up to date of what 475 High Performance Building Supply is all about?
Absolutely. So the origin story is that it was founded by the co-founders, Ken Levinson and Floris Keverling Boosman. They were teaming up to do passive house retrofits of brownstones in Brooklyn, New York, and in other places in the tri-state area, and found themselves in the position of needing materials that they just couldn't find in the United States, saying, hey, why don't we start bringing these over ourselves? And found that these companies were interested in expanding to the US, but just didn't have the capacity, or just didn't really believe that people in North America would buy into these concepts, so much so that they had no interest in really promoting it themselves. And so they were excited to hear these passionate individuals who wanted to bring them over and sell them here. So basically, they picked and chose their favorite materials that they wanted to see, you know, do well, and they thought could do well in US and Canadian construction, and made deals to be the exclusive distributors for those materials. And so that has expanded. The number of companies we work with over time has expanded here and there, but the core ones are consistent and have been consistent for the life of the company. And so 475, the name comes directly from it. It's an insider, sort of an insider's insider term. It is, if you were using, you know, metric measurements, you would actually use a different number. But in the US, we don't use metric. We're using the English system measurement still. So it's 4.75 kilobtu per square foot per year. That is the bar for passive house. So when you're doing the passive house planning package, anyone who is done those energy modeling softwares before, they know that the limbo bar that you have to get beneath is 4.75 kilobtu per square foot per year. And so we decided to name after the target so that you sort of associate us with that target that you're aiming for.
So I love that origin story, and thank you for sharing that of they went and found a pain that they went and fixed it and built a business around this. And when you say 10 years ago, that's fascinating to me, because also I'm owning a window and door company of the how slow things can move sometimes. And you kind of commented about how to build a whole city, but also to break down these silos and kind of change construction and change methodologies. It's amazing how sometimes that can be a global effort that has to come into these micro riches in the niches. You said some of those companies what were those, like some of the first products that you guys imported? I'm just kind of curious of what are some of those manufacturers and products that kind of like the origin 10 years ago that you said a lot of those are still your strategic partners today.
Absolutely. Well, there's one main first one, and that would be Proclima. And they are masters of air sealing systems. And so that was the main thing that they knew that they wanted to start with, is the sorts of air tightness strategies available to do passive house when they first got started were not really cutting it at all. We couldn't really find anything. You can't find anything on the shelf that's really going to do it. So it was a little easier to just kind of look over where it's most successful, which at the time was Germany, but maybe a few other countries in Europe now have maybe overtaken Germany in the percentage and the amount of passive house structures built. But at the time was Germany, and you know, looking at what was available and seeing and talking to professionals and saying, what do you think is the best? What can we do? And finding that that was the answer for many people. And you know, just deciding that that makes sense. We'll go with the one that is that we see thriving in those markets there. And so in many ways, we've always sort of been able to just peek over at what they're doing in Germany and in Belgium and in you know, a few other countries, UK, Ireland, and basically peek into the future a little bit and see how people have worked through problems and issues there, especially in places where there's wood frame construction as the norm, because that's not true in a lot of Europe. There's plenty of places where it is masonry construction is the norm. So seeing those places where wood frame, you know, sort of relates and using those strategies. And we've had to adjust a little bit here and there, but depending on the differences in construction here versus there. But for the most part, same basic story. And so Proclima was number one. The other ones being Lunos, which is a decentralized HRV system. We chose that one simply because there weren't any truly high-performance decentralized HRV systems available. So again, sort of focusing on what couldn't be found anywhere else in the market. And, you know, basically not really wanting to compete with anybody, but just present new options to the market that don't exist anywhere else. That was always the goal. The third sort of pillar company that we work with is Lamalux. Lamalux is a high performance skylight company that I believe still is one of the only flat roof skylights that you can find that are passive house certified in the North American market. Certainly the only one stocked in the United States. I'm sure at some others will pop up here and there, but for now, finding things that are exclusive and difficult to find is sort of our niche. A fourth one would be Gutex, which is the wood fiber board insulation product. It's a tongue and groove product that is continuous insulation for the exterior of buildings and is a replacement for continuous foam insulations, which is something that we wanted to provide. So that one came along a little bit later and has really taken off within the last few years, exceptionally so. Those are big ones. We have several others that we partner with in different ways, shapes and forms. And one of the ones that I'm most excited about, which is it's a separate company with friends of ours, is Glavel Insulation. And Glavel is a foam glass gravel, hence the name. And so what it is sub-slab insulation that's purely made out of recycled glass material that has been foamed up to create sort of a pumice lava rock-like material that it is insulation and your sub-slab gravel at the same time. So you're able to eliminate all sub-slab foam, and it also has various other positive properties. And so they're a company, good example of companies that we work with. They're also just started up their factory in the United States, Vermont, which is fantastic. So trying to support the network of companies and products that are coming alive and make it easy to create very low carbon, low energy buildings. That's the goal.
So you say low carbon, low energy, and I totally get that because I've been educated and I know 475 Building Supply. But after that, all these great names that you said, I probably couldn't repeat any of those if I raised my hand and say that. And why right. I bring that up is because it really boils down to this educational marketing of understanding. And that's what's just so cool to hear your story. And I want us to stop and think about this to say this global and timeless fireside chat is all of these time frames of breaking through the ceiling. And that's why I asked you to say, what are a couple of those pillars? And then you also put a couple of those new things that you're trying to mesh this all together to say, what does passive house mean? It's this way of putting things together to build better buildings. And you went to Germany and Europe and all these different places to say, we can all learn from together on this place we all call Earth together, right? And so your team puts a lot of effort into educational content on platforms like YouTube and Instagram, and we'll make sure to put links to all the show notes. Because if you want to get involved in Passive House, their platform is so well done and they're so passionate about it. But why do you do that? And what do you focus on? And what has the results been from doing all that, Johnny?
Yeah, the story behind education becoming a primary goal of our company really just is out of necessity. When we were a company of three sitting in our little office, not getting a lot of attention, you know, anybody who's been in that position, you know, the experience of just trying to kind of figure out what do we do next. And
that never ends, by the way, right?
So that never ends. It never ends. It changes as you grow, but it never really truly ends. And so we were, you know, faced with a silent phone, and just kind of when we did get to talk to people who were potential customers, the biggest hurdle that we heard over and over again was really just from the start, most people were just, I don't even know what you do. I don't even know what this is. Where does this even fit into a building? And has anyone in the United States done this? Because I think all the examples are in Europe. And for many people, that was true at the time. 10 years ago, you were very hard pressed to find a good passive house example in your hometown.
Totally.
Now that is very different. You can find examples all over North America. And, you know, in some cities and towns, you might find a lot. And so at the time, we just needed representation that A, this was doable, B, how you can do it, and using what materials, and that people were doing this successfully all over the place. So we needed that representation, we needed the proof, and we needed the growth in education and solid resources. And when you go online and looked around at the time, you basically weren't finding anything. And now we kind of saw the groundswell of change and how things were progressing, and the fact that, you know, a lot of builders, if you've been on job sites, a lot of people, if you need something in a pinch, you just go on YouTube and you find out how you do it. You watch on your, you know, real quick, you get together around someone's phone, you watch, totally. And then you go do it. And we needed those examples in the places where people were looking at for them. And so that's kind of how I became communications director, because when you're three people in a room, nobody really has a job title. And I was the one who was sort of like, we need to start making videos. And they're like, I don't really know how to make videos. And I'm like, I can make some videos. I'll make some videos. Let's go for it. Those really kind of took off, the first ones. And it paved the way for that becoming a regular drumbeat of, I would say I do a few different varieties, but the big ones just being product introductions. So it's very clear, you know, what all these weird names of all these weird things are and what they do and how they fit in and how they help you. That was a big one. Doing theoretical education where you sort of do the, we have like sort of plan and section drawings that we walked through in detail in our YouTube videos to show you the different layers and how they fit together. And then real world examples where we show on-site projects and how people have been successful, how they've overcome challenges that they've had, because every job site has challenges. And so those have been, I'd say, especially the project videos that have been very important to us, covering our success stories throughout time and our best examples have been easily some of the most important things that we've done.
All right. So the stage is set. It's fascinating when I get to have these moments in time I love when we get to know your story and you come in, you know, 10 years ago, you sat in a room and said, we got to make videos. You went out and found these different things, created these videos of all these great how-tos. And when I'm looking at your YouTube channel of Ken Levinson talking about welcoming here, but then getting into these Lamalux skylights and all these products. So we've set the stage. And if I go all the way back, as I'm recording this, December 20th, 2021, if I go back to April 27th, 2017 is when we released show 71, and this will be in the mid 200s, of we have all these conversations. And that conversation was titled Advanced Building Science Standardization to the Rescue. And that's where I met the emus all over the globe of Mariana and Enrico, who I'm huge fans of in the passive house community. And this, how much work people put into this to where how to speak passive house from the US point of view is I think a much bigger thing as I've kind of watched from the outside, and now I'm full bore inside where my window and door company is seeing how we can really help. If we want to really follow our passions of build better buildings, you better figure this stuff out. But there's times it can be really hard of what does 4.75 really mean, right? So I want to zoom all the way out and say, Johnny, I'm really excited for this question to get your point of view because you've put a lot of time into this. But from your point of view, what is passive house?
What is passive house, and why do I devote my career to this? As I said, when I got started, I really came from the big picture perspective, just planning across the board in what sustainability would mean for a climate change future, both in terms of mitigation and in terms of resiliency. And I had to sort of pick what I focused on within that. And as I said, I wanted to focus on buildings. And when you talk about buildings, I needed to drill down and say, okay, well, what really gets done? Because it's kind of confusing, even when you're studying it. If you asked 100 people what a green building was, you're going to get about 95 different answers. And so I had to define for myself what that meant. And for me, it meant energy. Purely, pure and simple energy was going to be the best place to make the biggest impact. And looking at how that happens, the logical conclusion is passive house. And part of that is the history behind it, which is that essentially passive house was developed by a physicist in Germany who sat down and said, if we are actually going to reach these climate change goals that we want to see in the world, let's take a rough back of the envelope sketch and say, this is how many buildings are in the world now. This is how many buildings will be here in 2050. This is how much energy they're going to use. How much less do they need to use if we are actually going to meet these goals? And just basically created this giant math equation that said, spits out on the other end, here's the bar that we need to get beneath. And so it's not based on anything, anyone's opinion. It's not based on a theory or anything like that. It's basically saying, let's do the numbers and do a rough estimate of what is possible, humanly possible for us to build to, and what should we be aiming for if we're actually going to take this seriously. And so I really enjoyed that science-based solution to this big picture problem and really just boiling it down to its pure essence. And so I think that was the best way that I could find to say, okay, yeah, when one of these buildings is done or when these buildings are retrofitted to passive house standards, you can step back and say, we did the best we could. We did our part in this project. We did our part. The bonus for us as a company from 4.75 is that you could look at it from a pure energy perspective, but we chose from the start to look at it also from a material perspective and say, what materials are going to be the best to make that happen? Because within passive house standards, you're not required to use or not use any specific materials. There's not any restrictions around toxicity or anything like that. Any of that is up to you. You can do a passive house however you want. And so we had to define for ourselves what materials made the most sense to us if we were looking down the road and saying, okay, 2050, the world has changed by then. What should we be promoting as the materials that are those ones that will last well into the future and that make the most sense for a low carbon world? And in asking ourselves those questions, we really came to the conclusion that we should eliminate foam wherever possible out of building systems. And that was probably our most controversial opinion that we took from the very start. From the very start, our first big blog posts and videos and social media posts, what have you, were all fending off the controversies of saying, hey, maybe we shouldn't use foam anymore. And that we had no idea how controversial that was going to be to suggest. And a lot of that has to do with the high performance world's dependence on foam, really, and people struggling with, well, what do you use then? And so we had to come up with those answers and say definitively and back up with real science, you know, what are safe solutions that don't use foam? And we've done that at this point. That's a long-winded answer to your question, but so passive house means something very specific, and then something to me that extends beyond just the standard itself into a whole building philosophy.
But I like that the short version and the long version, right? Is because you have to look at this and say, when we set the rules of the game, when you said back 10 years ago, it was really hard to find projects. And now since the rules are set, there's a lot of people that are buying into those few early adopters and creating this movement of what you focus on will grow. This next question on our pre-interviews, as we were really figuring out what is the best thing for the audience to hear, as you and I are both passionate about this educational marketing and putting our platforms out there to help the Art of Construction tribe, as you made the comment, as I realized you should not sell passive house to sell passive house. Can you talk to us about that?
Absolutely. Yeah. This is one that, you know, a lot of people struggle with when they get the bug and they really dive in and they're like, I want my next project, or I want all my projects to be passive house from here on out. That's a pretty common thing that happens in my world. When people really get the bug, they get it. It makes a lot of sense. And so they run out there, and the first client they meet, they're like, let me talk to you about passive house. And they're like, what is that? And then they say, you know, well, it's great. It's super low energy, and it's a really smart building enclosure and all these things. And you immediately start losing people when you start digging into the details of that.
Green, so, too expensive. I guess I shouldn't hire him.
Exactly. Exactly. And so basically, what through experience and through the experience of clients that we work with, clients being architects, engineers, contractors, and just seeing how this works, over time, I've sort of developed the opinion that you shouldn't use that as a terminology unless they come to you already knowing that terminology. If you are out there trying to sell someone on a terminology they haven't heard of, that's a losing battle. And so it's all about assessing where they stand in terms of their knowledge first and what they're looking for. Because the great thing about passive house as a concept and as a building is that it basically gives you everything you could possibly be looking for in a building with a tiny few exceptions. And so if the first thing that they come to you and say, well, I want healthy indoor air quality, they're like, great, I've specialized in that. I know exactly how to get you that. And the answer is passive house, because you can't get better indoor air quality than a passive house. If they're worried about comfort, you can't get better comfort than a passive house. If they're worried about noise from a neighbor, if they're in a neighborhood where there's planes passing overhead, you can't get better sound insulation than a passive house. And so there's so many different answers. So it's really about getting up on knowledge of all the different benefits that it provides and selling them on those benefits and just simply saying, I know how to make the best building you've ever stepped foot in. And if that's what you want, I've got it for you. And it doesn't matter what the terminology is. It doesn't matter really the specifics of how you get there, you know, because I think it's very easy for us who get excited about all these different HVAC systems and how they work and wall assemblies. Like that's where my knowledge base is a lot of how to build the best enclosures possible. I can get really excited about it. But if I'm talking to somebody who's not in the industry, I'm not going to use any of those words. I'm going to lose them instantly. And so it's all about knowing and gauging the level of information and using the right language so that you're communicating the fact that they're going to get what they need out of this and what they want out of it, and not that they're getting something special that they've never heard of.
I love that. And one of the examples when we were talking previously was, don't go in and sell them that you need to pay for a blower door test, right? Talk to them about how we're going to really execute draft detection. Am I understanding, like, the words matter, right? Where you have to meet in the middle and be careful about the business to business language to the business to consumer, because the consumers are there. It's such an emotional thing to sell comfort. And to sell lifestyle in these different things. And this is the part, Tribe, we have to really meet each other in the middle. I'm going on 20 years of working or owning window and door companies. And when I thought I had totally got it was what I call the false summit, where I could totally speak window and door and I could get in a room and speak everything about U factors and DP and all this stuff. Like, I'm going to just wow people. And then in the reality is you just scare and confuse people. Because you're not meeting them in the middle. And then you also get into the real estate contract talk of the longer you do this, the more problems you dealt with. So then you get jaded about it. And then you start telling someone they have to do this. And then they tune out because they get scared and they don't understand how to meet in the middle. So I love us to just say, to build better buildings, we have to use passive house principles, but don't go in there being the high and mighty, you know, everything about selling passive house, to tell someone 4.75 blower door, all these things that just they tune out. And I love how you say we believe in the science, but you still need to be able to sell the emotion. Am I understanding all that right, Johnny?
Absolutely. And it's about meeting people, like, as you say, meeting people in the middle, but meeting people with what they will interact with in their daily life. If they're not going to interact with my material, so that's why we don't make any videos for the homeowner, because again, they're not our audience. We're going to confuse them, because if it's within the wall, if it's behind the drywall permanently, they're never touching it or feeling it or seeing that what they're experiencing is what you need to talk to them about. And so for windows, as you said, a lot of it is comfort. You know, if you want to talk to them about the performance of the window, really talk to them about the experience that they have and how it opens or closes and how warm it feels in the middle of winter on the coldest day with your great high performance triple pane window.
Wait, you don't just go into different surfaces and low E and this and that, and why you need to pay more for this, because this triple pane and this argon and this fenestration and this stainless steel and da 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 da. You mean you don't do that? Yeah. You just say, hey, you're going to feel much better and you're going to enjoy this system better.
Yeah. And I give a lot of credit to some place that I think refined this very well was the Department of Energy did what they call the Building America Building Science Translator. And you can find that online on the DOE's website. But they basically did this giant survey where they took in all of the different terminology where contractors and builders got people lost across communications of building better, higher performance buildings, and said, okay, we're going to take this terminology and create and translate it for you and say, come up with different terminology that is accurate to what the thing is, but could be understood and can be understood much better. And so you mentioned one of them already, which is blower door test means nothing to most people. It's our world. Of course, if it's somebody who I'm working with regularly, we're always going to say blower door test. But if it's somebody who has probably never heard of it before, you're going to say, we're going to do advanced draft detection on this house. That's hard to argue with. A blower door test immediately evokes, well, what is this? Is this something I need? Is it required? No, it's not required. But if you say, I want advanced draft detection of this home, they're going to be like, oh, great. No drafts. Fantastic. You know, like who wants to argue with having, I want
a leaky house.
I want a leaky house. Right. And so another one, very common, very common. I'm constantly hearing professionals talk to clients about ERVs and HRVs. I think you should eliminate that from your lingo. no ERV, no HRV. They're fresh air systems. That's what they are. That's truly what they are systems to deliver fresh air. And so if you say, again, fresh air system, like, great, that's immediately, you can imagine how you don't have to explain all of a sudden what this thing is, how it works, like just that you're getting fresh air pumped into the house 24/7. That has to do with indoor air quality. They know that intuitively. You don't have to go into this long explanation about, well, energy recovery versus heat recovery and how, oh, in this climate, we have to, no. Just cut all that out. If you want to talk about it, if you want to dig deep, that's great. We can. I have that knowledge. But what you need to know is that you're getting a fresh air system in your home. Another one that I love from that is air source heat pump saying something like combustion-free space heating. You're like, again, no, I want combustion in my home, said no one ever. And so like things like that, that, you know, at anything that might be able to really accurately describe, but also sell on the concept of what they actually experience, feel, hear, see in real life is important. And so I extrapolated a few other ones. And in my examples that I give when I'm talking to people about marketing Passive House, I suggest something like, and it doesn't have to be, but something like a comfort optimized home for Passive House. If comfort is the key thing that they want, we're building you a comfort optimized home. And that's why we're putting in these special windows. That's why we're putting in this door that you can't grab from Home Depot. You know, like things like that are, you know, you have to kind of work in your own version of this language. And it kind of lays that out in the Building Science Translator. If you find that PDF online, it kind of lays out how the different terminology and lingo that was found to be most effective. And they did studies on this. It wasn't just them guessing. It was actually a series of studies that were done from, I think it was 2012 through 2015. And a lot of work that we can, you know, benefit from.
Yeah. And we'll make sure to put that information on the show notes. I love how you're translating that and giving tools for that. And earlier you mentioned foam. And so the question I have for you is, how often do you see people converted from foam and why? When I raise my hand and say, like, foam is this super high-end stuff compared to the old bat insulation, right? It was like, that was the next way to get this number. And now you're talking about not using foam, right? Am I understanding that right? Like, how often do you see people converted and why?
We see people converted all the time. And it's because we put ourselves out there as the place to learn how to build foam-free buildings. And so we have, at this point, you know, years into that messaging, we have a steady stream of professionals who are constantly coming to us saying, I want to do foam-free. And the reasons for that are vast and varied, from just people having bad experiences with an installation that went really, really wrong. Plenty of people, obviously millions of people have done this. So it can be done properly, consistently. But for those who have had a bad experience, how bad it can get is really bad. For those who have had those sorts of experiences, they come running to us because they want to continue building and they just never want to use foam again. And so that's a big subset of people come to us. Another subset is, again, the indoor air quality issue and VOCs and off-gassing and things like that, and greater consciousness from consumers around not wanting to have buildings that are primarily made from foam. And then builders and architects and engineers who are interested in low carbon building specifically, because if you are focused on the overall embodied carbon of a building, you basically knock foam off the table square one. It just does not compare to the other options available. And so, I hear you with the feeling like, you know, it was sort of presented that this bad insulation is this old way of doing things. Let's go on to this next step. Foam is the way to go. But again, in the study of what makes the best, longest lasting airtight building, it's important that you divorce your insulation from your air tightness system. Your air tightness needs to be a separate system from your insulation. So you can't rely on foam to be that air tightness. And we found it not to be reliable over long periods of time. And so it may pass the blower door test on day one, but we don't expect those buildings to be lasting at that same level of airtightness over the course of that building's lifetime. And so when you think about it as a separate system, as airtightness is a separate system, you come to membranes, basically tapes and membranes is the right way to go. Sometimes spray or liquid applied airtightness systems are the way to go in the case of masonry or something like that. But for the vast, vast majority of buildings, membranes are the fastest, cheapest, best, longest lasting way that you are going to achieve safety for the life of the building in terms of mold and rot and vapor openness, safety and long lasting airtightness. And so a big part of that, of our argument is always about the reliability, the testability of systems that are not foam. And also if you're looking at it from the big scheme of things, the deconstructability of buildings. If again, you're thinking about waste and consumption and full life cycle, you can't really deconstruct a building that's been spray foamed. It's pretty much going, it's getting junked. If you've used, we typically recommend cellulose for vast, vast majority of projects. Cellulose is our go-to. It's cheap. It's easy to come by. It's a recycled product. And when used with these vapor open materials and sandwiched between two layers of airtightness, it's easily one of the best insulations that you can find. And so that combo just makes it a no-brainer for us, because looking down the road, let's say this building's going to be have an addition or deconstructed in some way, shape, or form. Pulling down membranes and pulling out cellulose, really easy to do. Nobody's going to have a problem with that looking down the road. There's a number of different reasons. And for anybody who's interested, we have an entire series called Foam Fails that goes over all the different reasons that we could think of as to why to not choose foam, and pointing people toward other options for how to do it differently, safely, reliably, affordably.
Yeah. And you talked about embodied carbon, and I challenge the tribe, if you're not sure what embodied carbon is all about, go back to AOC show 210, Material Science Will Advance Construction. And that's where he had Scott Jenkins, the CEO, and Dr. Doug Brown, the CTO of ZS2 Technologies. And they're building a whole company around products to help with embodied carbon. And that's this whole Art of Construction tribe working together to say, how do we change to build better buildings and communicate this? And one of the things that we're really passionate about is taking this supply chain and streamlining these efficiencies. What's your take on what role will offsite construction play in advancing passive house in the U.S.?
I would say it's a role that is happening now, not will in the future. As far as I can tell from my seat, modular construction and panelized construction is the leading edge of passive house in North America. The number of panelized construction companies that have come up within the last 2 years is a huge percentage of the passive house buildings that are being built. There are a dozen different companies that we work with, maybe more now, that are exclusively doing passive house panelized systems. And I really think it's the future of building in a number of different ways, and not just even for new construction, but even for retrofit situations. It's going to become more and more handy. And that doesn't mean that you don't get to build anything anymore. I think what it does is it's showing that we're taking buildings finally the route the cars went 100 years ago and went into a factory. And the analogy we always give is, just imagine if we were building cars like we were building houses today. And that would basically be that you hire some mechanics, you hire, maybe a lead engineer who sits in your garage for months and just gets parts shipped in, and they one by one put these parts together. And who knows what happened in those months and months that it takes them to get all those together and get it right. They're going to have a lot of struggles with weather and time and things that happen over time, and like maybe parts not coming in together at the same time or in the right way or the right order. And that's what we struggle with buildings now, especially we see that with supply chain issues and things like that. And so building modular and building in factories, buildings has really taken us to that level where if you ever have the chance to tour a high performance modular or panelized builder factory, you will find that first off, they don't have to be that advanced. It's a series of tables in a warehouse, and it's a system to make sure that you're building consistently and accurately every time on your tables. And, you know, they're able to drastically reduce waste. They're basically able to eliminate, you know, questions or problems that may come up on a building site, especially related to weather and things like that. So you're seeing these pop up in places where the weather is really extreme, and it's super easy to build year round when you're in a warehouse. You crank out these panels, you put them on a flatbed, they get to site and they pop up in about anywhere from 3 days to a week. And so talk about the advantages of having, how many times have you had issues come up that have to do with the neighbors upset about how long you've been building, about, you know, noise and about getting people up early throughout the week. A picky neighbor might have time to complain. You're dried in. You've got the entire envelope up already when you're doing one of these panelized systems. So the benefits are just so numerous, and we're seeing the costs come down from the efficiencies within those factories, and we're gonna see these take over in no time flat. And as I said, it doesn't mean that our jobs go out the window. It means that they move into a warehouse, or they move to being managing these panels on site and then doing the final construction work of finishing those homes, which is, of course,
that actually just makes construction more fun again, which is how we all got into this in the first place. In the series I do with John Stambaugh, my logistics coordinator for Art of Construction, and we do the Blue Collar Warrior series, and we're really working hard to elevate the trades. And it's all going to change with this whole cool transition of you become these warriors that are out stitching and making different things happen. That's the evolution when you talk with the cars and stuff. And shout out to show 228 titled Build It Like Your Kids Will Live in It. And that's where we had Edie Dillman and Jonah Stanford, the CEO and CTO of Be Public Prefab. And that's where I had Matt McMullen, my executive director, and we're working with them to do that very thing, right? So it goes all back full circle where you're actually just talking about comfort and talking about, do you want to build it for the next generation that your kids are going to be taking over this structure? Because that is what Edie really puts into that. And then you're doing less to the B2C consumer about how these buildings work. And then all of us behind the scenes are really just working together in the art of construction to execute this stuff, right? And so I totally agree. The future is blending offsite, non-site construction. I'm super excited with the future where the art of construction, if you do hashtag AOC Roadshow, that's where we're going out and about with all kinds of projects. You're going to see us in a couple of weeks. I'm going to be at one of our new modular plants, and we're bringing in all these different things to all these modular companies and working with cool companies like Be Public Prefab, because we need way more of those to make this become the standard, right? And so as we get to close this thing out, Johnny, what is your crystal ball for the future with technology in construction to help us move this forward and really fast track your killer products that you've sourced to make it standard in Passive House?
I love that you bring up Be Public, because if you were going to ask me in my next question what builder I would look to as a great example for the future, that would be the one. So I love that you've already had them on the show, and people can look back to that episode and check it out. In terms of the crystal ball, I would say modular panelized prefab building isn't just the future, it's now. I think it's just going to come up and get a bigger and bigger part of what we do. I think that it allows us to hop over all these issues that we talked about having to convince people about each and every detail and component of a building. That hops right over when you have a standard panelized construction. You're just like, you're getting our panel. That's what you're getting, you know? And so I think that becomes more normal. I think also part of my argument for not selling people on passive house and using that as a terminology that we inside the industry use to help us grow and change how we build better. I think that ultimately things like that, terminology like that, all of the things that we're studying now and integrating into how we work, those go away because it just becomes how we build. I think if I had my way and everything works out like I hope it does, we don't sell people on it at all. It's just how we build well. And so again, sort of my philosophy on messaging around that skips over that part where you don't have to sell people on it because we won't be in 20, 30 years. We're just building in a high performance, standardized way that gives people the next wave, the future of building. I often tell people, we're not waiting for anything new. We have all these things available to us now. And we're really just waiting for the world to implement them. You know, we have so much good building science now. We have so much concrete knowledge of how to do this well over a long period of time and just continue advancing what we put out there in the world. We just need people to allow us to do it. And I think that's all we're waiting for now.
I love it, man. And as you went full circle, you're really just bringing that back to this educational marketing that is really just getting people to understand what makes a better building. Like, what truly is that, right? And so all these great platforms out there, you can go look at the Passive House Accelerator and all these things if you want to really get deep about, like, if you want to be a catalyst for zero carbon building, there's all these great platforms that we can guide you to on the art of construction. But words matter, Tribe. Messaging is key, right? And so I really appreciate you, Johnny, and what you're doing with 475 of really helping with that messaging, but also sourcing the different products that really work and really putting that together. And we believe in science here on the art of construction, right? So what is that one thing you want to leave for contractors and affiliates to think about to go out there and crush it and grow their business?
In terms of crushing it and growing your business, I would say, as I said before, nothing's better than putting out videos about what you're doing, documenting your own experience, creating your own media. The benefits are huge. One of them being that just more people find you. Another one being that is how I see builders, especially builders, people on site daily, having a free flow of communication between them. I'm sure you've experienced it if you're on Instagram. The threads go very long where people go back and forth in the comments of a single photo and just debate building science, best way to do things, affordability. You have great conversations in there. And so being a part of that conversation is really important. Clients have better trust of you because they can see what you do on site. They get a sense for your personality. But also by putting yourself out there, it forces you to get better in terms of what you know and what you're sure of. Because if you're putting something out there in the world, you're going to want to look it up first and be like, wait, am I right about that? Let me double check. I better be right about that before I put a video out there and get critiqued on it. So that really benefits us all and you personally to be creating your own media. And it's so accessible now. It's just in your phone. You can do the whole thing. You never even have to put it on a computer. Done deal. It's so simple. Just a little bit of training, trial and error, and you'll get there in no time. But that's my one piece of advice, especially coming from the communications perspective, that just put your work out there and it's going to come back tenfold.
Awesome. And one last time, Tribe, I'm just going to go through and kind of give you some perspectives to send you out there to crush it and grow your business. Because what we have to do is we have to turn this insider building science jargon into language that is inclusive, effective, and consistent. And how you do this is you don't go out confusing them, because if you confuse, you lose. Don't confuse them by saying air source heat pump. Talk about a combustion-free space heating. Don't go into the ERV that most people don't even know what ERV stands for. Just talk about how we're going to put in a fresh air system. don't talk about continuous vapors, WRBs, and all these things that, again, confuse people. Talk about drive-by design walls and a roof. Don't get into speak about triple pane and DP and U factors and all these things that people don't know what they're getting. Just talk about a triple pane window is going to give you enhanced comfort. Don't talk about the blower door test. Messaging them, talk to them about how you have advanced draft detection. And when it comes to the famous statement that can get you in trouble, don't just talk about passive house. Talk about a comfort optimized home. Johnny, thank you so much for all of your messaging and helping us not lose, because to build better buildings, we have to use passive house. And we're huge fans of what you're doing with 475 and all of the stuff. Hey, I'm going to challenge you. We got some show hosts coming up. We're going to do some videos together. We're going to practice what we preach. We're going to put this stuff together. We are here to guide you, Art of Construction Tribe, and we're honored to be partners with 475 High Performance Building Supply. Thank you for coming in and sharing your story, Johnny.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been great talking to you.
All right, crush it out there, Tribe. Have as much fun as possible. Cheers.